Our reporter John Cook is live in Creasla for us now. Good morning, John. Will you firstly describe the scene for us there this morning?
I will, Claire. And the rain is falling here again over northwest Donegal this morning. A really beautiful part of Ireland. And so even though the sun has shone through a few times over Sheephaven Bay today, the rain is somehow more reflective of the mood I've encountered yesterday and today here in a devastated part of Donegal. I'm looking at the shell of what used to be Lafferty's shop as I speak to you. It's a post office as well, the Apple Green petrol station. There was also a beauty salon here and upstairs apartments in the complex, which was a rest stop off point for tourists travelling from Letterkenny to Dunfanaghy through the beautiful hills of Donegal. But for locals in Creasla, it was the heart of their village, they told me, where they met and did their business. The heart that was cruelly ripped out on what should have been a normal Friday afternoon as parents stopped off bringing kids home from school. People did their banking at the post office or the ATM machine. Motorists refuelled their cars. Children and teenagers chose ice cream, sweets and birthday cake, while young couples or friends met outside or talked upstairs in their apartments. All that changed shortly after 3:10 on Friday afternoon with a blast that almost collapsed the entire building, blew windows out of houses up to 100 yards away, the shattered glass on the road beside me as I speak to you, Claire, and net curtains blowing in the wind today, symbolic of the homes left feeling utterly empty and the lives torn apart by what locals are still struggling to process today. Brian Dolan's agri-consultancy office is just down the road from here. His wife Margaret Ann went out to get coffee and to lodge money in the post office at Lafferty's on Friday afternoon, shortly after 3 o'clock, and she'd walked away just minutes before the blast. Thankfully, Brian told me, she got out unharmed.
Yeah, she was in the building minutes beforehand.
I suppose, a lucky escape.
Yes, we're here to tell the story. Our friends, our neighbours. Some of them are not here.
She called you and you rushed to the scene quickly. Can you describe what that scene looked like as you and others tried to enter in a panic to help those you could see that you knew?
The initial look when you came round the corner and you saw the building, you just automatically got the feeling this is serious. I don't think anybody thought after that. The only thought process was what could you do?
Did you get in yourself to help?
Yes.
Was it possible? Was it safe? Or did people even have time to think of that?
There was people shouting at us to come out, but no.
You knew there were people in there in the rubble trapped?
Yes.
Brian, did you see people saved? And sadly, did you see people who could not be saved?
I'll just say that I saw people saved.
I don't know if that's any comfort, because I know you've lost a lot of friends.
Friends of mine, they're clients of mine, they're...
They'll be very sadly missed. As you said, Creasla, a place no one knew of before. How would you describe this community?
Absolutely brilliant. It's a lovely place. Mm-hmm. Bar Friday afternoon. We're a small, very small community. As I say, I'm in business. People ask you where you're from. You're from Creasla. Where's that? You know, it's half an hour west of Letterkenny. Nobody knows Creasla. Maybe the cutting the corn in Creasla, or Bride of Gallagher, or maybe the viaduct accident we had out the road 97 years ago, I think it was, before Friday. I think most people in Ireland would never have known where Creasla was. We will get through it, but I mean, Creasla will never, ever, ever be the same for anybody here.
Never be the same again. Brian Dolan there, John. And as those 10 lives are mourned in Creasla, tell us about the talk around the town and the local businesses.
Yeah, Claire, some businesses like the Coffee Pod Cafe here beside a glamping site right across the road from Lafferty's are busy feeding workers, Gardaí, the media today and locals. They looked after the rescuers on Friday and Saturday as they frantically combed through the rubble looking to save lives. As one local told me, though, even in a crowded coffee shop, you could hear a pin drop over the weekend. People don't know what to say. In McNulty's pub and Rose's bar and restaurant last night, there was hushed talk around the bar or in quiet corners by the fire. The grief, obviously too raw to talk about, and one sombre barman discreetly whispered to me that some of those sitting in silence had lost family members and close friends in the blast. Talk around the village as parents are bringing their children to school this morning is about the kids that won't be at school anymore, while others still wonder whether a gas explosion can explain the cause of this devastating tragedy and what Gardaí or technical experts, some I understand who are expected to come from outside of Ireland, will find today and in subsequent investigations in the days ahead. For most I meet, Claire, in this small, close-knit community, the names of those who died are never far from their thoughts. Catherine O'Donnell and her 13-year-old son James Monaghan, 50-year-old Robert Garway and his 5-year-old daughter Shauna Flanagan Garway, 14-year-old Leona Harper, 24-year-old Jessica Gallagher, 48-year-old James O'Flaherty, Martina Martin and Martin McGill, both were aged 49. Hugh Kelly was 59.
An eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and a perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest.
I'm from the town here and I just came down to support everybody.
How are you all feeling?
Shocked.
Bar one, we know all of them. It's a tough time, very tough time, yeah.
Just coming together tonight, does it help?
Absolutely, because the shop was the heart of the village and it's gone now. So this is the place where everybody meets.
I noticed at the back of the church there's bread and milk and eggs and fruit, and that's what someone said to me earlier on. We don't have a shop anymore, and sadly life goes on. People still need bread and milk. It's very hard to even think of those things right now, but somebody has brought it here and offered it to the people. Do you feel strength from, I suppose, the support that people are offering or the condolences people are sending?
Absolutely, and I know some of the members of our community from St Vincent de Paul also support the older people that sort of live up here beside the chapel. And the shop was their breadline. That was where they got all their messages. They don't have cars. They would have been in the shop all the time getting their groceries. So it's great to see that all this is here for them as well.
Did your boys know James or Leona, lads?
Leona's in the year below me. James 2 years below me. So I knew James well. He'd always say hello to me in the halls and all. He was a nice young fella now.
Hello.
Hello. How old are your kids?
They're 4, 5 and 7.
All off to school now. I'm thinking a little Shauna. Did they know Shauna? She's 5 years old.
She was in the class below her. Uh-huh. Yeah, she had only just started junior and this is there past September. Uh-huh. They just knew her because she always was around the town with her dad, God rest him, and they always had a little doggy. They followed them everywhere and all the kids knew Shauna because of her wee doggy and stuff. It was great. They all loved her. So they knew who she was, and if they mentioned Shauna, they knew straight away about the wee dog as well. So it was the wee attachment they had.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? And as you brought the Gardaí had to escort you by Lafferty's and through the cordoned off area to bring the kids to school this morning. There's no getting away from this. You have to tell the kids what happened, or how do you explain that?
We sat the kids down and we explained to them that, because they felt the noise as well, and we just explained to them what had happened. We just kind of explained to them in words that they would sort of understand as best we could. Then when the name started coming through them that people were passing away or had passed away and people were injured and things like that, we just figured that there's no point in trying to hide it from them, because people are going to be talking and they're going to hear it, and it's better to hear it coming from us than from the outside, because they would hear it the way we want them to hear it. Because they're at the ages where they shouldn't have to deal with this kind of devastation, but it's just unfortunate that they have to.
Ahead of a busy and very difficult week for local clergy, the Catholic Primate of Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, visited some of the bereaved and injured today, while also meeting locals who aided in the search and rescue efforts after Friday's blast. Among them, I spoke to Bernard McGinley from Muckish Sand and Gravel Quarry. Their workers rushed to the scene to help, and some were clearly exhausted and traumatised as they spoke about it today. Bernard said he and other first responders felt like they were going into some kind of autopilot mode on Friday, not thinking about themselves or the danger they faced as they tried to help. He also told me his 14-year-old daughter, Alana, sometimes works in Lafferty's shop, and it was when he thought of her that the full extent of what was happening really hit him.
One of my friends, after work, arrived here, and first thing he said to me, he said, Lana wasn't in the shop, and I knew Lana wasn't in the shop, but it just knocked me back. I wasn't prepared. It just dawned on me that how close it could have been.
You said the people of the community are aware there is help available for them, counselling or psychological help. It's something you might avail of, or do you think people
certainly,
will?
Certainly. I would have. I have plenty to be doing. and there was always another task around the corner. But no, certainly lots of my friends have availed of it and have said how much it's helped them. So no, it's something definitely that I'll be
maybe
doing.
Maybe it's the quieter days ahead that it's going to be needed as well. It should continue.
Yeah, certainly will. And this doesn't go away. This will evolve in different ways over time, and people will require help for an awful long time to come, I would have thought.
I'd say you hugged Alana fairly tightly when you got home and you saw her again, relieved, knowing what you'd been through, knowing she wasn't in that shop, knowing you did your best.
That was my first outlet of emotion on Saturday night. When I went home, my three kids were there, and somebody said, we're not very, you know, emotional group of people. But when I saw my three kids, I knew that's when it hit me. And Lana was the first to wrap her arms around me. And, you know.
Well done. Mm. Fair play for helping out so many families. I know not so lucky, but so many relieved and thankful that you did what you did.
Yeah. Everybody just tries to do what they can, and nobody's looking to be a hero here. It's just an awful event. And I don't understand how this little community will ever recover from it.
I'm Tina's aunt, and I have my daughters here, her cousins with me. And we just wanted to come down and lay some flowers. And it's not that we can't remember, we always will. She's just quite the character.
Very popular here.
Ah, yeah, very popular. Very witty and plain speaking.
Tina worked in Lafferty's shop. Everyone seems to have known her and liked her around here.
Yeah, and she was well known. She worked in Letterkenny as well. And, she, you know, she came down here and she just fitted in so well with everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what else can we say?
Tina was your cousin. What was it like to look at the site there, to see the shop as it is now?
Horrific. It was just devastating to even think that could actually happen, and for people to be there 1 minute and not the next, you know, and it's just, It could have been anybody. That's the way it is.
That's how cruel it is, isn't it? It seems so random.
Yeah, life is cruel. Mm-hmm. But we'll remember her well, don't worry.
She'll never be forgotten, I think.
Oh, not at all.
Or none of the victims here in Creasla will ever be forgotten.
Not at all, never ever. This is something that's going to be historic, really.
My condolences, my sympathies to your family. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Not at all, thank you.
And that is... it's very difficult to listen to, John, isn't it? It's very difficult. I mean, the emotion is so raw.
It certainly is, Cormac, and that's replicated over and over again here in Creasla, as unfortunately will be for days and many weeks and months and years to come.
We journey through life on a pathway that we neither design nor control, but we must travel over. Yes, we can share the path somewhat with our decisions and choices in life, but the final direction of life is beyond our control.
Father John Joe Duffy there, celebrating the life of Jessica Gallagher here at St Michael's Church. He said, she would have wanted us to celebrate, he said. She was at the centre of every celebration, and it's right we should celebrate one so beautiful. He spoke in his homily as well of how the people of Creasla are being comforted in their faith in God and in Jesus, and how there are no words, unfortunately, though, to explain why the path that Jessica and 9 others were travelling on in their lives was ended so abruptly by this accident in Creasla on Friday. Jessica will be laid to rest in Doe Cemetery later on, a funeral for Martin McGill later this afternoon. And while there are no words, there is strength in numbers and comfort in shared grief we've been hearing here in Creasla. And perhaps the beautiful music behind me, Claire, says it best when people cannot find those words. One of the songs sung here, The Clouds Veil. Even though the rain hides the stars, people will know these words from funerals and weddings. Even though the mist swirls the hills, even when the dark clouds veil the sky, you are by my side. And everybody here feeling Jessica's presence by their side today as they bid her farewell.
And may she rest in peace. John Cook, thank you very much for joining us.
Terribly sad scenes, Cormac. Yeah.
Tell us about the first funeral, if you will, first of all.
Yeah, in Creasla today, locals were hugging each other in the cold and rain, many, many hundreds of them lining the streets around St. Michael's Church in respect to those whose funerals were taking place today. Though amid all the sadness, there were songs and sometimes smiles remembering loved ones with fond stories and some lovely words led by Father John Joe Duffy at both funerals. Readings at both of the Requiem Masses included biblical lessons from the book of Ecclesiastes, which listeners will know it tells you there's a time for everything, to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Today was the time for the people of Chrysler to begin saying goodbye to the loved ones lost in the explosion at Lafferty's shop and service station last Friday, and it was poignant to see the owner of that business, Danny Martin Lafferty, bringing symbols of one life lost to the altar at the funeral of 49-year-old Martin McGill, who was using the ATM in the shop when the blast took place. The symbol Mr. Lafferty brought to the altar was a loaf of bread. Father John Joe Duffy telling mourners that the odds were against Martin not being in Lafferty's shop for something. He ran errands, be it bread or milk or whatever, as a carer for his mother and for many other people, including her neighbours. He was often in the shop, sometimes five times a day. Sympathies were offered to Martin's mother Mary, sisters Mary Louise and Caroline, their families, his nephews and nieces, by clergy and the aide-de-camp for both the President and the Taoiseach. Charlie McConnellogue, the Minister represented government, Michelle O'Neill, the First Minister designate, representing the Northern Assembly, after the Scottish natives' remains were led to the church by a lone piper.
Lord, hear us.
Hello. I'm grateful for all the people who have come here today. I'd just like to say a few words about my dad. He was a great man. He worked very hard and very long each day, whether it was around the house or at work. He had no shame, which I think is a great thing to not have. He wore a jacket with a huge paint stain on the side of it everywhere. He managed this by leaning on a wall which was still wet with paint. We were renovating a house in Fox Hills. He wore the jacket everywhere, to the shops, to the movies, and to the beach, everywhere really. I'd like to say thank you to all the people who have given and offered so many things. The emergency services too, who were there within 15 minutes, and also came to the wake to pay their respects during the past few days. I'd also like to say something which I have learned in the past week or so. I'd like to say that we should be grateful for your families, cherish them. Be grateful, because they won't be there forever, so use up the time you have wisely. Also, be grateful for your life, because that too will not last forever. But be grateful, for you will be able to rest after your hard work. Be grateful that God has given us this life and all the things in it, our families, our friends, our home, and this world that is awash with hope and love that God has given us. Thank you.
My God, what an inspiring and a brave young man. That's 12-year-old Hamish O'Flaherty speaking at the funeral of his daddy, James. And he's I'm so sorry. He's an incredible man, John, isn't he?
He brought a lot of people to tears today, Cormac. And I think his strength was just amazing, to be honest. And I am bowled over by the strength of everybody I meet here in Chrysler and this part of Donegal after the most difficult of days and even more days to come. And it was only right then that President Michael Higgins should visit today and meet with those people and just be with them. Tell them that I think the whole country is with them in spirit and solidarity. President Higgins spoke of his shock at hearing of the Chrysler explosion, but how amazed and proud he was to see the search and rescue efforts and the cooperation shown between community and authorities, both sides of the border, as this unfolded from the dreadful events of Friday afternoon at Lafferty's shop to the recovery efforts and the waiting and the not knowing what would happen. And sadly, then the recovery efforts that had to delivered the inevitable news, but importantly brought back those people to their loved ones for burial today and other days to come. And like Father John Joe Duffy, another amazingly strong and inspirational man I've met and spoke to many times in recent days, President Higgins echoed his words that we heard earlier, praising the example of the people of Creeslaw, an example of solidarity after tragedy to the nation and beyond.